I'm with Evie Robinson. She runs an incredible online travel group.
The Super Fantastic
Show. She traveled all over the world and started sharing her journeys with the world via her digital video series. And now I understand that's even going further and further. You've got some new stuff coming out, which should be incredible.
Yeah.
All right. So look, how we met.
Yes.
You put out an APB on social media that said, what? Help, I'm drowning. My apartment's on fire.
No. No. But health-wise, probably just as dramatic. Right before my 31st birthday, I was like, I'm 30. I do not need to be on medication for anything. And I went to my doctor and was told that I was pre-hypertension, which is something that runs in my family, something I knew about, but didn't realize that I didn't have under control until February, just a couple months ago.
Right. And they, I mean, what led you to go to the doctor in the first place?
It was really just a checkup. I'm one of those people that got insurance because of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had paid to go, you know, yearly every 1 or 2 years to get all my checkups done. But it was something that was really annual for me. And I like to keep up and, you know, get the blood test and kind of see what's going. So it was a full body screening. And this was something that just kind of came up when I was there. And I wasn't sure because I had never been told, you're borderline, therefore if you don't get this under control, we're going to put you on medication.
Right.
But I do know that when I go to the doctor's office, they say, what is it called, like white coat anxiety,
mm-hmm.
where just like being in the doctor's office and all that that means can freak you out. So I'm sure it was a bit of both.
Right.
But it was enough, and it was within 2 days that I had gotten my blood test done and gotten the results. So in 2 days, they took two different readings, and they were like, this is alarming enough for us to, you know, pretty much tell you you need to make a lifestyle change.
Right. And you had, I mean, I think it's important to share you had other things going on also. There's,
right.
You had an underlying thing where you had lost how much weight within like 2 years before that?
Yeah, I'd lost about 60 pounds and kept it off for a good like 4 years, almost 5 years. But then within a year and a half, I had gained about 20, 25 of it back. So I was really starting to kind of like, you know, let myself go a bit. And I needed a kick in the ass, honestly.
Yeah, you were in a momentum. And then also you had this life event happen regarding, you know, people in your group in Panama. And if you want to
right.
talk about that at all, I mean...
Yeah,
it's contributing stress. It's a big deal.
It is. It is. And I'm like New Yorker, A-type personality, workaholic, entrepreneur. So I'm already on 10.
Right.
And, you know, there was unfortunately an accident in Panama with a number of my members and, you know, two of them passed, but we had 12 people injured.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of being the face of Nomadness, it was really important for me to literally go down there. It wasn't something that me and my team were navigating from our living room. We literally, within 24 hours of hearing about it, flew down to Panama, was in and out of hospitals, dealing with the embassy. It was a lot.
Right.
And, you know, and then weeks after that, literally the next following Fridays back to back, I was at funerals for two members, both of which I knew and, you know, were friends with. So I was going through a lot that most people don't have to go through and I hope never have to go through.
Right. Yeah. So when I saw your message, it was the thing that got me about it was you were saying, look, this just happened. The way I read it, the way I recall it, I don't know, it's been a while, but you know, I just left the doctor's office. They told me I am possibly going to have to be put on medication for hypertension and I'm looking for holistic remedies for hypertension. Is that about right?
Right. I'm all natural everything. I'm all about supplements and lifestyle change before medication. I've always been like that. I've been pescatarian for almost 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very big into that. I'm not just somebody who, you know, talks it. I definitely walk it. So I threw out to my extensive network on Facebook in particular, I was like, what are some natural remedies? And I got everything from apple cider vinegar, chop up garlic and eat it raw too. Like it ran the gamut. And I think there's some validity to a lot of it, but I had to kind of like pick and choose and look at what came up more frequently.
Yeah. And that's actually what got me. It wasn't your call out per se. It was, I actually looked at some of the answers and I was like, this is a train wreck. it's like trying to, and this isn't just that. This isn't specific to those people who are all very kind and want to help you. And I appreciate
right.
that. And I can really appreciate that. but it's like trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle without having the picture on the box to say what this thing's going to look like. So everybody's giving you the piece that worked for them or that they heard or culturally that works. And if you don't have that underlying picture to understand what this thing's supposed to look like, you can get yourself into more trouble than you are already. Or you can put effort into things that just aren't going to be fruitful because they heard or they were told or this worked for their grandma or whatever, or culturally this is what our people did, but it's devoid of the context of under what circumstance that thing worked. So right. I shot you a message. I think we probably had like traded texts a year before that or 6 months before that. You were getting ready to go on the road somewhere. Time had gone by. A long time had gone by since we had our initial contact. Like, it had been significant time.
I didn't remember you.
Right, exactly. See how forgettable I am? There it is.
I was looking like, and the text was so random. It was like, what's going on with your blood pressure? And I'm looking at my phone like, who the hell is this?
Right. Exactly.
And then I look back, I'm like, I know this guy from like Facebook and Instagram.
Right.
But it was so random to me.
Yep. So we set a time to get on the phone. In my recollection, we talked about why hypertension happens. And I thought that was important to cover.
Yeah, it gave me a basis for something that I had no prior knowledge of, even in my family. And seeing as it's something that my family has a background in, mm-hmm. I really wanted to know more about it because I'm the only one that I really felt like was going to take the time to understand the core of the problem and be able to make that transition and that shift. Mm-hmm.
Since then, you gave me a call like 2 days ago and you sent me this amazing mm-hmm. picture that I picture you jumping up, clicking your heels in the air. Because you went back to the doctor after what is it, about 6-8 weeks?
It's been 8 weeks.
And got some really good news. And this also includes you had a birthday pass. You've been on like at least two international trips. You've partied. So it hasn't even been like 8 weeks hardcore. I don't think we've really disturbed your life all that much in the few things that we've done. But you correct me on that. Yeah. Some of them where'd you go? You went to UAE?
I went to India right after we spoke, like within days. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the UAE and South Africa for my birthday. So I was in quite a few countries.
And then you went on vacay again.
Right. I was in Honduras, which I just got back from last week.
Right. So that's all within the 8 weeks. Like all that happened.
Yeah.
And you celebrated your party in New York and in Dubai or UAE. Right. So it's not like you went into a monastery and did 8 weeks of kneeling and praying to the god of hypertension and then came out. Right. But and you still were able to achieve like a 10-point drop in either your systolic or diastolic and like a 20-point drop in the other, which is incredible.
It was both. 10 point drops in both, which was like out of this world. Even when I spoke to the doctor and he told me he was doing well, I was like, you know what? I've been dealing with this like nutritionist. Give me the numbers so I have something tangible that I can look at.
Right.
And when he gave me the numbers, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you were the first person I contacted when I left.
Love that. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
So we're not done. We're going to keep doing other things. And I guess the underlying thing that I want to make sure that if we're able to share this with anyone who's facing a similar problem, I think the first and most important thing to do is to get help, right? It's one thing to say I'm holistic in my approach, but don't be holistic in your approach and not seek help. Seek holistic help or seek help from your doctor and tell him, my preference is to handle this holistically. And can you please explain to me the roots of my problem so I can start to, you know, get a concept of what am I doing and what behaviors are contributing to this result.
And the complicated thing is not all doctors are keen to that. Because even growing up, like I said, I've been this my whole life, even more so than like my parents. And I remember when I went to, you know, just my family practitioner when I was younger, when I first heard about homeopathy and natural remedies, he looked at me like I had four heads and was like, I don't know what this is about. Where now, and part of this is luckily living in a city like New York, this doctor that I have now, like he's totally with it. he practices a lot of these things. He's big into martial arts and being active and using that as stress reduction. So I was able to have a doctor that I could really relate to and that understood where I was coming from in that regard, instead of trying to, you know, push medication upon me.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And a lot of times that, that comes from just their training doesn't include that stuff. It's almost like you have to find a doctor who's willing to go the next step and not just figure out how do I clean up the mess once it happened, but what am I going to do that's going to allow me to prevent this mess from happening? And how can I get offensive in that nature and get aggressive in prevention? So you shared your success with friends and family, people you know, and they sent you some questions.
Right.
And so I thought it would be cool to kind of go through and answer what I could. Of course, you know, with the asterisk that says there, I'll be able to give you answers with without knowing your entire history. But I'll give my best answers, and also that the best answers to every question start with two words, and that's it depends. So that's it. I'm going to say that every time too. So give me one of them. What do we got? What do they ask you?
Okay, so you have to understand these questions are really coming from people that are travel oriented, right? So that's a big thing. One of the things that came up that is actually more along your fitness realm, or what are some portable worthy equipment pieces that you would recommend that people can travel with?
Okay. What now? You probably know better than I do. Give me an idea of what scope they're talking about. I mean, are we talking about people who are going camping? Are we talking about people who are flying to South Africa and they want to know what? What are they looking for?
They're looking for something that they can pack that will help keep them on their workout regimen.
Oh,
so
for the workout.
Let's talk about your everyday vacationer.
Okay.
Somebody who may be partying, but doesn't want to completely fall off the track. Mm-hmm. What's something that they would be able to pack with them and actually bring with them, workout oriented, to kind of keep them going?
That's easy. That's super easy. If I do travel a bit, when I'm on the road, number one, you have to be flexible, right? You have to know that when you leave home, you're not living in your ideal circumstance all the time. And in our homes, we have all the creature comforts, everything, and all the best advantages. And when we're on the road, we have to say, I think a great attitude to have, first of all, is the number one thing that's transportable. And that is allow yourself to be not perfect on the road. And that goes a long way. But you still want to get something done. So I would say my top two items for travel and fitness would be a good pair of sneakers, something I can go out and do anything in. And I like, there's several different types I like. I mean, I'm a big fan of the New Balance Minimalist line. I'm a big fan of the Reebok. What are they called? It's their CrossFit shoe. I forget what it's called. But I'm a fan of both of those shoes because they have zero drop. And that means that the heel is the same height as the toe. And so it doesn't impede me from doing any exercise. Everything is pretty much as close to giving me full foot contact with the ground. And there's several other reasons why I like that. So number one item would be a good pair of running shoes or workout shoes. And the second thing would be a speed rope. I'd bring a speed rope with me or a jump rope or get one on site. And that would allow me to even if I had limited space, it would allow me to get my heart pumping. The rest of the stuff I could do, like, you know, I can do all just a bunch of calisthenics. I could do bodyweight squats. I can do push-ups. Yesterday, I had you doing a bunch of bodyweight squats and push-ups and crunches, and then you sprinted, right? You could do that anywhere. You could go anywhere right now as long as you have the shoes and you can do that workout, and you're not going to set yourself back.
Right. And I think that goes into another question that people had, which was, what's a workout that can be done in your hotel room? And I think you pretty much touched on that, if there's anything that you want to add.
Yeah, I have. As a matter of fact, I'm at any given time, I'm coaching several people. I'm coaching teams. I'm working with small groups. I'm working with individual one-on-one people. And right now in particular, I'm working with 8 incredible people. 3 of which are NCAA coaches, and they travel right now. They're on recruiting trips, so they're in hotels all over the country. And one, which is just a road warrior doctor who just, she's not in her home place ever. She's always somewhere in corporate housing. So this is a thing that we're actually facing right now. So I have them doing hotel room workouts. And basically, when you're in that situation, first you're going to look for, is there a gym in my spot? You know, because obviously that's going to be a better situation. You know, certain things you're not going to be able to do in the hotel room. But in general, a lot of push-ups, a lot of bodyweight squats, flutter kicks, mountain climbers. These are all things that you can do in a very small space. Darn near in a good sized bathroom, you can get this stuff done. And the key is just, you know, really challenge yourself. I mean, I would say that the other one other piece of portable equipment that I would bring would be probably a journal. And I have a ton of these things. I know you've got a journal. I keep these things. I am such a Moleskine fan. I've got these all over the place, and I keep track of the things that are important. And one of the things that you'll hear me say all the time, and I've probably said it to you before, is there's no progress without measure. So I need to know, what was I able to do last time? If I gave myself 2 minutes to do as many push-ups as possible, how many did I get done? Mm-hmm. And that's important to know, because when I come to do it again, I want to do better. I want to move forward. So that would be my third piece of equipment, is a journal, something to keep track of what we're doing. So
I like that. I just started my fitness journal yesterday.
There you go.
As a matter of fact.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So it's new. another question that people have, as far as travelers, what are some supplement suggestions that you may have for people that are on the road a lot?
Okay. So I'm assuming that when we're talking about travel, we're talking about getting on a plane. Okay. So that puts a constriction on things, meaning, you know, and now you've went through this. Any liquid supplements you bring can't be more than 3 ounces.
Right.
Okay. So when I travel, again, I allow myself some flexibility, not to be perfect, but I kind of have a routine and a ritual. I have powdered greens, and there's several of those. They're all different brands, and most of them taste like fish food, which is nasty. But I found a brand that I like. It's called Greens First, and it's really good. They have a berry flavor, and they have it's like a minty flavor. It's a powdered. It's 13 different types of greens. They, you know, they juice it, and then they dehydrate it, and they turn it into a powder. And I use it as an insurance policy, because when I'm home or when I'm at my destination, I can go to the supermarket and I can get local produce, and I can eat what my body needs. But if I'm going to do a long day of traveling, I'll pack my shaker bottle. I'll put little baggies full of like protein powder, and I usually use a egg white protein or a whey protein, but I try to stay away from whey because it sometimes causes me and other people bloat. And then I'll put in other couple, 2-3 baggies of my greens protein, and I'll put that all inside the shaker bottle, go through security, and then I'll separate them, and I'll just go to the water fountain and take whichever one I need to take right now. So if I'm doing a full day of travel, you know, I might have 3 different shakes ready to go and take them, you know, during the day, because I can't rely on what the airport food is going to be, or is it going to meet my price point? Sometimes that stuff, if I get what I really want, is a $20 meal, and I'm doing that 3-4 times a day. So I would say on travel days in particular, a green supplement would be a good thing. And then some protein shakes that'll just guarantee that you're not going to set yourself back or lose what you've already earned and moving forward. And then you can always pick up some fruit or whatever's available, not knowing that your main needs are taken care of.
Right. I'm going to do that on my next trip.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
I'll hook you up.
Speaking about veggie stuff, right? Uh-huh. I'm pescatarian. We do have some vegetarians that are in Nomadness as well.
Okay.
So how do you kind of stick to a veggie diet in a very meat-oriented country? This happened to me in South Africa, and every time I go to South Africa, I gain weight.
Right.
It's very meat heavy. Everything is meat, 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 and like eating hearty. Excellent food. If you're a carnivore, you'll love it. But being a vegetarian and or pescatarian, it's very difficult when you're in those countries where that's like their normal food.
You know, sometimes you got to kind of Aikido this thing. You know, you can't fight strength with strength all the time. Sometimes you have to fight strength with absence. And that means be flexible. Number one, you've been all over the world. You know that sometimes culturally, you'd insult someone if you didn't eat what they prepared for you. And so I would allow yourself some flexibility there and say, I'm going to do my absolute best. But I understand that culturally, I chose to go somewhere where this isn't the easiest thing. I mean, I've got students who are in remote parts of Australia. I've got students in Kuwait. And that's feedback that I get. They say, you're telling me to go get veggies, but it's just, you know, I live in the desert. I mean, it's tough. Or, you know, during Ramadan, how do I address these things when most of the farmers aren't even producing because they're also observing Ramadan? I can't get my veggies, so I have to eat this other crap. And all that you can do is be flexible. I mean, you can know what your goals are, and it's important to have those goals, but, you know, the key is that knowing in advance will allow you to mentally prepare, and maybe even, you know, if you had to make some allowance, you know, to say, hey, look, I'm a pescatarian, but I'm going to a country that doesn't have any fish, doesn't have much produce. There's no answer. There's no right answer. It's just flexibility.
Yeah, it's research-based.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's information, knowing what you're getting into before you get there. But I think if you allow me to just take a tangent here, I think an important thing is, why did you become a vegetarian? I have a funny story that I point out all the time, and I was you know, I know that I was with a person who said she was a vegetarian, and we were on a road trip with a team, and we stopped at a restaurant, and she went inside and ordered a milkshake and fries, and that was her lunch, because she doesn't eat burgers. Okay. I get it. You're a vegetarian. You're a vegetarian, so you don't eat meat, but she doesn't eat any vegetables. You know right. what I mean? Like, I think if you're going to be a vegetarian or any type of plant-based eater, the key is that you eat a lot of vegetables. That should be your main sustenance, not just I don't eat meat, because I have my own issues with that. I think that if you can get your hands on high-quality meat, I think it can be a very good thing, but I do understand that a lot of vegans have social views and political views that, you know, that are contrary to that, but there's no right answer to that. I'm sorry.
I have a lot of vegetarian friends who, when they went vegetarian, they gained weight because all they ate were like sides and carbs.
Right. Right. that's regular. That happens all the time. That's true. I think I often tell people that I eat more vegetables than a lot of vegetarians I know. You know, mm-hmm. and that's a problem. Yep. I think any vegetarian or plant-based eater who's reading this or listening to this should definitely check yourself right now and say, how many servings have I had today? You know, if your number is any less than like 6, you might want to reevaluate your resolve and turn that up.
Yeah. Yeah. The last question I'm going to throw at you is, if you had to give 5 to 10 foods that you can find almost anywhere in the world to help keep a balanced diet, what would your recommendations be?
Okay, so this happens. I do an annual trip where I get the best of my friends together, and we go somewhere. And we've done it domestically, we've done it internationally, and it's the same. Number one, I do what you do. I don't stay at hotels. If at all possible, I'm going to find an entire home that I can rent that has a kitchen and a grill, because that's what we do, right? The next thing I do is we're all going to get there, we're going to land, we're going to get to where we're going, and we're going to find out from the local people there, what is the food situation? Where do I go? Where's the market? I know where the restaurants are. You're pointing me in that direction, but where do you go to eat in your family? And I want to go there. I want to eat where you guys eat, and I also want to know where the market is. And I'm going to go to the market, and I'm going to discover, what does local produce look like? What's green here? What's stalky here? What's leafy here? What, you know, is this a fish place? Is this an agriculture place? Do they have farms? And what do the local meats look like? And I'm just going to be very, again, flexible and say, you know, it's almost like an episode of Chopped. If you ever watch Chopped, they give these people a basket and say, you know, make something.
Make it work.
Yeah, make it work. Yeah. And we'll go there and we'll spend. I think the biggest key is that we'll spend probably half the time or more that we're in the store in the produce aisle. And if we come out of the produce aisle, we'll probably go back to the produce aisle and at the end and say, okay, what did we miss and what do we need to get, you know? Because you're going to find leafy greens, you're going to find stalky greens, you're going to find starches, you're going to find fruits. And so to get very specific, I'm looking for an array of berries. That's like my fruit of choice. It's worth the calories because the nutritional value is very high in a very low calorie situation. And it's the candy, it's the replacement for candy. I mean, everybody still wants a little sugar in their diet. So I'm going to go with as many different variety types of berries as I can find. And that's instead of other crap. That's not in addition to candies and all that kind of crap. It's instead of that stuff. I'm going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out locally what's available to me in terms of greens. So I want to go for, if I'm in the States, I want to go for like broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus, spinach, kale, Swiss chard, bok choy, things like that. All, again, that are very high nutritional value, but very low in calories. And that's going to help me to look great on the beach, feel great on the beach, keep my energy up. And then I'm going to try to find the highest quality protein I can find. So that's going to be beans, legumes, and then whatever local meats and fish they have. And I really, if I'm being honest, I want the closest to it was caught or grown right here. I don't need the imported stuff. Don't send me to the American section where, you know, they sell the imported stuff from where. What did you guys catch today? Or where can I go to find out what you caught today? Or, you know, what can I get now? You know, that's produced right here. And that's a great rule of thumb no matter where you live. If you live in Cleveland, find out what's grown in Cleveland. Find out where the local farms are. Get there. Mm-hmm. I have in my network, it's a library of CSAs, farmers markets, or whatever that I'll drive to. It's worth the drive. I'll meet the farmer. You know, there, I can still get, you know, all the meats I want, all the fish I want. I can get fresh cheese. I can get raw milk. I can get fresh eggs. And all this stuff costs way less than what it costs at Whole Foods. And it's grown right here, and it's seasonal.
Yeah.
That's the biggest tip I can give anybody, no matter what health issue that we're going to eventually end up talking about, or no matter what goal you have physically for body performance or how you want to look. If you made that one change and started eating local and seasonal, you would find that you're going to get more results with less effort. And that's a big deal. Does that make sense?
Right. It does. And even living in New York City, you know, there's stuff even in the Bronx that I find where a lot of the upstate, you know, I grew up in Poughkeepsie. Mm-hmm. So I know all about like upstate. A lot of the Hudson Valley is, you know, the base of a lot of the farmers markets that come down to Union Square. So even in big, big cities, you can definitely find that. And I completely agree with that wholeheartedly. And that's all the questions I'm going to throw at you, because the next time that you get tossed questions, it's going to be at the NMDN conference in September. So yes. I really wanted to give a snapshot of what the food and fitness panel is going to look like, and things that people can learn, especially from the point of view as a traveler. So I'm sure you'll get more questions fired at you on that afternoon. I think it's going to be fun, and they'll appreciate it because we get this a lot.
Cool. So what should we do for your friends? Do we want to do something for them, something special? I just uploaded, you know, you actually made this happen. Yesterday, I put up a grocery shopping list after we talked. Okay. I said, you know what can I do that's going to give some value for free? So that's on my blog right now. You can just download my actual grocery shopping list. And should we put something together? I know we talked about it. We should put something together for your group. Like, what can we give them that's going to be high value that they'd appreciate? Whatever you want, we'll do
it. Right. We'll figure out something that'll resonate on an international level, because just like, I mean, they make my travel look like child's play. So I already know what I go through when I travel. So it's like times 10 for them, but we can definitely come up with something that's, you know, tailored to the No Madness crew.
Cool. I'm with it. The Super Fantastic Show.